you know, say, like, okay, we want to adapt everybody, and then we're not responsible, you know, and that's the George Bush, an acronym for freedom, you know, FISA, freedom, you know.
Hey, hey, yo, I put this on speaker. If you can't hear me, I'm gonna take it off speaker.
Okay. No, I can hear you fine, man. If you can tape the thing, man, let's just do it, man.
Yeah, I'm taping it on my camera, but I only have 30 minutes on my camera, so.
Well, that's good. That's just the beginning.
But Bob, when you were talking about wiretapping, it made me think about I had some thoughts on that because. I used to be paranoid about talking with you and people, you know, might be listening or, but.
I'm paranoid about talking with Bob every time.
McLuhan said something, the grave about, the end of paranoia, and lately I've been thinking about that. It's like, I don't care if they're listening because I have nothing to hide. I mean, I'm, you know, if I would like to see the transcripts if they got them.
That's the immunity system. Every American says, I have nothing to hide, therefore I will just give up my right. They have a new thing that's getting ready to come to the airports now where they body scan you. Okay, it's a thing where it's like they basically scan your skeletal system for electromagnetic ceramic weapons. And this is getting ready to come to every airport. Not to mention that right now in Beijing, they're having the Olympics, and they have facial recognition. They spent $500 million on all these, security devices that are not going away. This is the new technology. This is the new, what would you call it, man? You know, like the new medium of the security. You know, come on, man.
I'm not worried about it though anymore. I mean, you wouldn't say it's nothing to worry about, is it, Bob? Corbin, it used to paralyze me. But you can't let it affect your life. You can't let it paralyze you. In the past, it paralyzed me.
Well, yeah, it's paralyzation, and that's a good term. I would say that's a good adjective. Very, very specific, right off. Yeah, if we are doubleless, then that's why we double up. You know, there's a pun there, doubling up. You know, doubling up. Yeah, but that would be the 22 paraphernormal. Yeah. Go ahead, the 22 when you're laughing, you're learning. I learn a lot talking to Corbin. You know, he goes on a bit too much. He says his sentence, and he goes on a little too long when we're doing a dialogue. So, Corbin, just, you know, say a few words, make your point.
Yeah, I know. As I repeat things, it's just because I'm getting old and stupid.
Which happens to all Crowleyites, unless they meet Bob. Let me say that.
Right.
Good, I like that.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find FISA. It's incredible. I'm Googling it. What, have you got an idea of the initials, Corbin?
It's either FISA or FICA. One or the other. FISA, the Senate and the House just voted on it, and it's a telecoms immunity bill, basically. I mean, basically, they have backward retroactive immunity for any intercontinental spying. Intercontinental, I mean, this is like G-Man, this is like Catch-22 to the extreme, but in the new era, you know, after the Reagan-esque years and the Bush years, you know, pretty much, the last 20 years at least.
So you're right, FISA came in 78, I know that, and it was a result of the, after the Watergate stuff and that, and what was it, they were demanding oversight, I think it was oversight for all intelligence activities, right?
Well, pretty much, yeah, I mean, immunity for all telecom communications, which came under National Security Administration, pretty much NSA, you know?
Yeah, what's funny is that you Google this, nothing comes up. They've censored it from Google.
I wouldn't doubt that. I would not doubt that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at, I'm trying intelligence oversight.
I just want to get the transcripts from when my calls with Bob are like, you know, recorded and processed somewhere.
Well, unless you're calling internationally, unless you're like calling England and calling Bob, man, they're not recorded, you know, but if Bob's outside the country, they're being recorded.
No, man, I'm recorded all the time. Luckily, everything just appears to you guys. They're not recording you, they're recording me. Android means recording me to find out what to say back to me. It's just a one-way dialogue, you know? Don't worry about it.
You're saying that it's a one-way backwards monitoring system.
It's me talking to myself.
I guess that would it would almost be like talking to your own answering machine,
yeah.
Except they have to reverse it, like Android... Android mean reversal of your dialogue.
Yeah, what I mean by your word reversal is they pretend that they are not me. So that's, you know, we fused, you know, with cold fusion and all kinds of fusion that's going on. The Android mean pretend, Android mean pretend to separate out and create a life mirror back to it. That's the reversal effect. And there's no difference. But the Android mean likes to think it's separate from me. I let it do it. It tapes me. It replays me. Everybody says, hey, how come you're in that movie, Bob? I said, well, it was written about me because that's all they got as a guideline. So that goes on, and I ignore it as much as possible.
Did I go too fast?
No, I got all that.
I'm just trying to take the intake of it and back with something that when I was trying to think the reverse of the 222, all right, that's basically the dual mirror effect. When you're looking back in the mirror, and that's 22, okay? The 22. Yeah, I mean, you've got your individual self, and looking back in the mirror, that is 22. And when you talk about something about, do you get the cognition of what I'm saying?
Yes, and I want to add something. The key to this 2-2 thing, I want to read, there's a very good site, my friend Earmap is just logging, he's going nuts, he's logging all kinds of McCoon quotes and pictures and stuff, and he posted this quote from 1948 just the other day, which is exactly what I would say to this issue. Let me just find it. He's explaining the American mind. He wrote this in a letter in 1948 to Ezra Pound.
Right, Ezra Pound.
Now,
yeah.
You guys are the American mind. Now, let's just see what happens here. It says, the American mind is not even close to being amenable to the ideogram principle as yet. He's talking to Ezra Pound about Ezra Pound's ideogram principle. The reason is
now, explain ideogram principle. I'm sorry.
Okay. Ezra Pound would collage his images in a poem influenced by the collage effect of haiku or the calligraphy of Chinese art and painting.
Well, now, isn't that specific? Because right now, the Beijing Olympics run, they just had 4 billion people last night tuning in to the Olympics. Okay? I mean, that's the biggest TV audience ever, man. They get like 400 million for the Super Bowl. 4 billion? Good God, China. China and India are the superpowers. They were trying to emerge with the Bob ideogram, you know?
That's right. I hadn't thought of that, but, you know, I did post yesterday that yesterday 888 is the beginning of World War IV. I mean, this is the invasion of China. This is the invasion by the Android.
So you call it 888, do you know?
Yeah, 888, August 8th.
Well, that's also the Jesus principle.
Also, Bob, have you noticed that 888, it looks like Bob. Like, I noticed that.
Yeah, I know that. Even Stang recognized that. He was ranting on about that.
Oh, really?
Stang, that little recluse, you know, that little bastard, you know.
Okay, listen, the reason is simply this, why the American mind is not amenable to the ideogram principle. America is 100% 18th century. The 18th century had chucked out the principle of metaphor and analogy. And he defines that as A is to B, as C is to D. A is to B, as C is to D, as D essence of the principle of metaphor and analogy. American
Einstein principle. Yeah.
Okay, close.
Yeah.
He says, Americans can see the A-B relations, but relations in four terms are still verboten. This amounts to deep occultation. Now listen to this. Occult. This amounts to deep occultation of nearly all human thought for the USA. And he says, I'm trying to devise a way of stating this difficulty as it exists. Until stated and publicly recognized for what it is, poetry and the arts can't exist in America. Mere exposure to the arts does nothing for a mentality which is incorrigibly dialectical. So if you just see AB, you're dialectical. The vital tensions and nutritive action of the ideogram remain inaccessible to this state of mind. So I say this to say that 2-2 is, as this world is to the next world, or in ratio to that world to this world. And when you look at the mirror, it's not a direct mirror image. It's I am to the mirror as the mirror is to me. You see?
I see.
I don't, maybe that's what you meant.
Right, but now check this out. The mirror actually has 14 dimensions. If you can actually peek into a mirror from the dimensional aspect, it actually goes 14 times. Now, it's not 13, it's not 22, it's not, 23. It's 14. Now, I have no way of proving that other than saying that the man's a madman, but 14 mirror aspects of does that have any resonant interval number meaning to you, man?
Yeah, the dialectic in my Humphrey Orphic Eddy essay is 22 represents baby boomers and 14 represents Generation X. So 22/14 is on the chart as
you're going on record and saying Generation X would be represented by 14.
Yeah. And in the Dobbs quadrant on the tiny note chart, it's Dobbstown versus 22/14. So Dobbstown represents the Morpheus generation, the kids that come after, born in late 80s, early 90s. That's who responded to me.
And that, Bob, that's kind of what I was getting at. Those kids I work with, we're talking about how they were so smart and they had the ability of pattern recognition.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we're getting at. And what are they now? They are 18. They're the kids you're dealing with right now.
Yeah, but wait a minute. These are all the kids that have the, their underwear hanging down past their butt.
No, Corbin. Corbin. No. These kids, no.
This is a retro back. I mean, this is total regression. Tonight here in Tampa, you want to hear what's happening tonight? Hippie Fest. Flo and Eddie, Eric Burden, and Jack Bruce, okay? Now we have Flo and Eddie, obviously, work with Zappa. Jack Bruce, Green, Eric Clapton.
Eric Bruce worked with Zappa. Jack Bruce worked with Zappa.
On apostrophe. Yeah, I didn't get that. Oh, my God.
And anyway,
Corbin,
you have to let us get your... You said it was going to work twice. Go on, go ahead. Stop and start real fast.
He was...
Listen, Eric Burden was at the recording room for the money. That's a famous story.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Okay, go ahead. It's a total Zappa thing, right?
You're saying? Right, yeah.
It's got Flo and Eddie, Jack Bruce, Eric Burden as well.
And that's it. Flo and Eddie, Jack Bruce, and Eric Burden, man. Hippie Fest.
Yeah. And that's interesting because, Morrison gets busted in Florida in the late 69-70, and then Zappa at the time is making a movie with Jim Morrison. He was going to make Morrison and Grace Slick be part of it. Can't be from Deeper versus Web People, I think.
Right. And you're saying that Jim Morrison and Grace Slick were in the Grub People?
The Captain Beefheart and the Grunt People, or Uncle Beef,
right.
I think it was Captain Beefheart and the Grunt People, the later version, 6970, they were scripted. Frank was talking about getting Jim Morrison and Grace Slick. Now, I don't know if that's after he stopped the Mothers in August 69. I mean, it depends on when Morrison got busted in Florida.
In Florida, that's where I'm originally from, okay? So that's synchronicity to the max. Now, when I emailed you about your day, and you asked me if I was at high or something, I said no, it was blank, empty space, because I just heard absolutely free the other day. And I haven't heard it in so long, and it's the chrome mega-plated, the megaphone of destiny, okay?
Well, no, I recognize what you were doing in that thing. We sent it to you, Matt. Anyways, in there, you're quoting the beginning of of rolling for the money, you know. Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, but that's not absolutely free. Were you, did you mean we're only for the money?
We're in it only for the money, or, we're only in it for the money. I thought it was absolutely free. I confused the two.
Yeah, Ellen, I mean, I'm a zap, but not.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, black, but you haven't listened to a long time, but blank, empty space. I know black students are listening to everything we say.
Right, exactly. The chrome, megaplated megaphone of destiny. That was exactly what I was quoting, you know?
Yeah. Okay, Matt.
Yeah.
You wanted to interject 5 minutes ago. Let's listen to what you wanted to say.
Yeah, well, you...
It felt
like Corbin had a kind of a I don't know how I would describe it, but a negative reaction about the kids today. But the kids today, Bob, they're smarter than we ever could even imagine. I mean, they're... So, you know, and like I was talking to you about that, Bob, you're saying that they live in a dream. So definitely, I mean, they might have weird clothing styles, but it doesn't have anything to do with their importance.
Yeah, that'd be just their chemical body, which they hardly pay any attention to, Corbin. So if they wear their underwear out, they don't bother getting dressed when they get out of bed because they live in the dream, right? They live in the chip body dream, so they never think they woke up. That's why they wear the underwear.
What I was saying is they actually have more hard technology than we ever had, man.
Yeah, and that leads to pattern recognition. They are hyper right hemisphere moving towards the corpus callosum in between the two. That's why they're smarter. They do both hemispheres more than the baby boomers or
generation X. Wait, they're in a neutral zone. They are not actually alive. They are asleep. They are hypnotized by media.
No, I agree.
They are...
Their chemical body is dead, but that doesn't mean that their dream is not alive. They live in the chip landscape.
The dream is alive, yeah. Okay.
The chip landscape is alive, but it's interesting. If you heard our cash flow that I'm doing with James, we were talking about the Amazonian stuff, the way they live there. The Amazonian guys, you know, the ayahuasca shaman people, the culture believes they never were alive. They believe they're dead. So we actually are doing that to American kids. They're Amazonian, you know, ayahuasca taking technologically situation here, that they're dead, and they have no problem with that.
But the old people have a problem with that.
I'm not getting that.
The parents and their parents and people, the teachers have a problem with that because it's harder to control them. They don't understand what's going on, so they just...
They're representing the new medium, and the real problem was always in the older media. That's where the effects show up. The effects are the confusion that the older media and older people have with this new phenomenon
of struggle. It is all about struggle. I mean, any realm of life is about struggle, you know?
That's the eternal
every medium.
That was the eternal factor for the chemical body and the astral body. Now you got struggling TV body and chip body, so these quadruple struggle going on. Yeah, you're right. It's only struggle, but it's the multi-level struggle now. And that's a new factor. And where's the language to help people get a bomb, B-A-L-M, out of it? You know,
The Apple Macintosh what's the other guy's name? Bill Gates. The people that are the war profiteering, the pirates, man. I mean, that is pirate in the new sense of the word.
That's what I mean by Rumpelstiltskin. We don't have any language to nail Rumpelstiltskin. Remember, he's dancing around, hijacked a little village, and as long as no one knows his name, he runs the show. But to name Rumpelstiltskin and these pirates today, you have to have a language, a framework. It's not one word like you're good, evil, or this or that. You got to have...
No, not at all.
Yeah, so my chart is what I say is the language to name the Rumpelstiltskin.
I see.
In my chart, you can name them. It's
nonsense. That is the abracadabra of magic. You know, that is basically the word Rumpelstiltskin. Rumpelstiltskin. And that is the medium of the interval
to meditate
on the new technology.
Right.
Rumpelstiltskin.
And Bob, that's what I asked you. I asked you what your word was, because every Magus, is it Magus or Magus? But anyway,
Magus,
excuse me. What is it?
Go ahead.
Yeah, every... every magus utters a word, and I asked Bob if he was a magus and what word, and he said yes.
He's uttered the word. A man of Ish. Me and Bob have been together since 93, and you put in your email 93. That's when me and Bob came together.
That's right. You're 93, Matt.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
exactly. 93 is when me and Bob met with Jerry's, man, you know, hanging out on July 4th or LA. You know, it was July 4th or.
So your word is Rumpelstiltskin.
July 4th, 93. Yeah, we walked down to the beach. We went to some, you know, the holiday celebrations. Remember, we went to
right? Exactly. Right on.
But anyway, the thing is, Matt, so this is the first time. It's important that this happens, you know, World War IV started yesterday. We've got the first two Crowleyites, recognizing there's a flaw or an inadequacy there, and we're talking today, and we're creating thoughts of the new Crowley. But it's interesting, you could always quote aspects of Crowley about what I'm doing, but again, he was just dealing with the literate oral world, the chemical master body, not the newer bodies. And so Joyce McLuhan come in, and remember, Joyce Lewis and McLuhan were aware of Crowley, you know, and
bounced off
on that. Also,
Speaking
of today being significant, I saw a UFO for the first time today.
Describe this, man.
I honestly did. It was.
Tell me what the fuck in a UFO. I've seen an alien in this, Bob, but anyway.
I saw a UFO, man.
And that's interesting because there's actually a quote in the Book of Law, something to the effect, "I will wrap thee in a mask of sorrow." Okay, Matt, do you know the verse that I'm even talking about or what?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
No, I'm saying, man, that this is pretty much Book of Law stuff, you know? And being a Thelemite, you know, you have to kind of know some of this stuff, you know? I'm not trying to test you, man.
Let's hear the story. You just asked him to describe it. So describe it, Matt. What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, I literally saw an unidentified flying object. It was either an experimental aircraft or it was an experimental aircraft. I don't know if it was aliens piloting it or humans, but it wasn't a bird. And
Where were you?
I was at, see, that's the thing, that's the important thing. I was at Mount Arabia, and check this out, Corbin, that's where Alan Greenfield and a bunch of occultists in the area are doing the Mount Arabian workings and doing the points chod work up there of Michael Bertio. So they claim that
Michael Bertio, yeah,
right, they claim that Mount Arabia is like a PowerPoint, right? And Alan Greenfield even claims that one of he was camping there one time and his friend turned into the god Pan. So that's why me and my wife went up there, in part because we've heard it's got some spiritual significance, and damned if we didn't see a UFO.
Did anybody else see it?
Yeah, my wife saw it. She spotted it.
No, anybody else besides you?
No. We were just sitting by the pond looking at clouds, you know, trying to come up with things that are in clouds. And then we saw it.
You know, it was kind of relevant about this because I was going to bring this up, and I know, man, probably I air big on this. I was have to say Jack Parsons, which was Jet Propulsion Laboratories, and L. Ron Hubbard. Now, L. Ron Hubbard ran off with Jack Parsons' fortune and his girlfriend.
Right.
And his Crowley teachings. And then Jack Parsons blew his ass up with some mercury, dropped some mercury, a vial of mercury, man. And he had clearance at the highest levels of Jet Propulsion Laboratories, okay?
Or Jack Parsons Laboratory.
Yes, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Jack Parsons Laboratory, however you want to claim it now. You know, and that was back in the 40s, okay?
Okay, let me give you the hidden story there. The synchronicity is, now, you know, you can listen to Dave Worster. It's in Paranoia. You can read the long interview at the website. Or hear what we did in Evan. You didn't have to hear any of that yet, Matt, did you?
The interview with, I read the transcript of the interview with him.
Did you hear what, on July 24th, we were on Evan Ray's KPFK show?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's worth hearing. That's really worth it. Now, here's the thing. There's a guy named Bo Gitzelman, who was a scholar of Sanskrit and discovered Kapila, K-A-P-I-L-A. And he made a big deal out of Kapila in the 40s.
wealthy. I think their family's from California. Titselman, K-I-T-S-E-L-M-A-N. So he made the first post-World War II human potential and Esalen kind of retreat environment in near, I think, Reno, Nevada. I think it was called Pilgrim Lake or something like that. I have to check my notes. So in the late 40s, he developed what was called E-therapy. Now Ron Hubbard comes out and hangs out at Bo Kisselman's ranch and gets this material from Bo Kisselman, rips it off, and it's around then that he's interacting with Jack Parsons. He then integrates Parsons' stuff with Bo Kisselman and comes out with the E-meter, right?
E-meter.
And so the hidden part about Bo Kisselman is that he goes on, he's pissed off that apparently Dave Wooster knew him and said that his wife once told that Bo's wife told him that Bo never gets mad at anybody. He's a, you know, sunny disposition kind of person, never gets mad, but he hated one person.
Yeah.
One person he hated was L. Ron Hubbard because of what Hubbard did. But Bo goes on and continues his work. He gets very involved with Krishnamurti and promotes Krishnamurti in 1960, brings him back out of retirement. And Bo Kisselman becomes part of the Center of Integration Environment, the first LSD stuff that Captain Hubbard did in the late 50s in Seattle, the LSD for non-alcoholics and non-schizophrenics. And then Bo gets involved with Dave Wooster and the Cosmic Awareness Movement and all that. Bo Kisselman, I can send you to a site where they talk about him, is the hidden part that's not known about Hubbard, Fowley, and Parsons. So I throw that
out there. That's very interesting, Bob. I'm glad you brought that up, man, because, because basically what's going on, it kind of ties in with, as little as technology, everybody's trying to do a retrieval, you know, like a retrieval into the 50s or the 60s.
Yeah.
And now Obama talking about, like, you have to inflate your tires to, you know, get the most out of, just out of gas mileage or whatever. Now, he and McCain are spewing off between energy, you know, awareness, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, basically all energy has been obsolesced, you know. It can come from the anthropomorphic ionization of just energy, of pure matter, and they already have the formula, but they don't want to let it go because the petrochemical companies and special interest groups, they've got them strangleholded. They can't let out the new fusion energy or cold fusion or whatever you want to call it.
Right, and that...
They have to rely on your fossil fuel method. And that,
okay, we got that. We got that. Listen, now Matt was going to say something, then I'm going to say something. What were we going to say, Matt?
I forgot now, but I'd like to hear, Bob, I'd like to hear more of your thoughts on the cold fusion, especially what are your thoughts on the fact that Stanley Pons' brother was in my dad's wedding? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, that's probably why you're here today at this momentous point, and that's why you saw UFO. It all worked, man. I mean, that's pretty good that you're... And then you played
football with the wide receiver who caught Doug Flutie's famous Hail Mary touchdown pass in the most replayed college football play of all time. Bob was mistaken. Another member of the FiveBody.com message board played high school football with this receiver. While I did play high school football, I did not play with this lucky receiver.